Welcome to Walking in the Word, the weekly teaching series by pastor, teacher, evangelist Eric W. Stansberry, located in Las Vegas, Nevada. This podcast is brought to you every week with the hope of blessing you to find to strengthen your walk with Christ. And now, your teacher, Pastor Stansberry.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Eric Stansberry coming to you live and in living color. That's kind of since we're all in color now. From right here in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. So glad and excited that you're with us today, and I hope that you've had a great week. A lot of the schools are back in session, and I know a lot of teachers are probably sitting today going, I made it, but I am so tired, but so glad that you're with us today. We want to go to the Lord. Our streaming podcast through Podomatic and Google iTunes, and also we'll watch it later on our YouTube channel. If you can, subscribe to both my podcast and my YouTube channel, because in the very upcoming weeks, I'm going to begin a new, fresh teaching on the book of Revelation that will only be on the YouTube channel and the podcast channel, that will not be here on Facebook. So make sure you subscribe, and make sure that you share these videos so that people can hear the Word of God as we express and teach it. Would you join with me in prayer? Father God, we thank you so much for your love, your mercy, your power, your grace, and your glory. We pray, God, that you'll reach out today and you will minister to all the churches. Brother Zach up in Sloan Lake, Lord, Isaac and Shane in Cleveland, Tennessee, Billy Parker in Eton, Sean and Michelle Brooks in Las Vegas, Bishop Lee also in Las Vegas, God, and here in East Phoenix, as we worship today with Billy and Shirley Raines at East Phoenix Church of God, let the Spirit just move and send souls into all these places that need to hear that you love them and that you've got a plan for their lives. Father, I pray this morning that you will let me get out of the way and people only hear you, because you're the only one that matters. And I will give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So I had planned to do one song this morning. Then I got another song on my mind. Those of you that know me, know I kind of like Southern gospel music.
Well, standing there at the Red Sea, God's people began to complain to Pharaoh and his mighty army. Would take this bondage again. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses cried, and God parted the water, and they crossed the other side. Oh, we'll never bow to your idols, the three Hebrew children proclaimed. So the king gave a command, threw them into the flame. The king said, did we not cast three men into the furnace mouth? Did I see four men loose in the fire unhurt and walking around? God delivers again, oh my God. Delivers again. Just when things look hopeless, he reaches out his hand. And then the forces of evil have to flee at his command. Just when things look hopeless, my God delivers again. Just when things look hopeless, my
I don't know if you heard the words of that third verse. It said, we'll never bow to your idols, the three Hebrew children proclaimed. You know, this world today wants to get you and I bowing to their idols and doing things their way. But notice what he says.
So the king gave the command to throw them into the flame.
Just when you think the story should end there.
Oh, the king said, did we not cast three men into the furnace bound? I see four men loose in the fire unhurt and walking around. Oh, God delivers again. Oh, my God delivers again. Just when things look hopeless, he reaches out his hand, and then the fortunes of evil happily at his command. Just when things look hopeless, my God delivers again. Just when things look hopeless,
amen. Are you glad that God is a delivering God? I know that no matter what you're going through in life, and especially right now with all the COVID crazy resurfacing, that it is easy for you to fall prey to fear. But can I just tell you, we're all overcomers. We've already won the battle. If you have your Bibles and want to come, go with me to Psalm chapter 19. As you know, I'll be reading this particular psalm from the Tree of Life version, which is a more Jewish-centric version of Scripture, because a lot of times we tend to look at it through the Constantinian model of under this symbol, go conquer, rather than we're trying to create an earthly kingdom when God told us to create his kingdom. But Psalm 19, we're going to go straight through 15 verses, and then we'll come back and start really digging into it. For the music director, a psalm of David, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky shows his handiwork. Day to day they speak, night to night they reveal knowledge. There is no speech, no words, where their voices goes unheard. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his bridal chamber. It is like a strong man rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other end. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The Torah, or the law of Adonai, is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Adonai is trustworthy, making the simple wise. The precepts of Adonai are right, giving joy to the heart. The mitzvah of Adonai are pure, giving light to the eyes. The fear of Adonai is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Adonai are true and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, much more pure, much more than pure gold. They are sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Cleanse me of hidden faults. Also keep your servant from willful sins. May they not have dominion over me. Then I will be blameless, free from great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable before you, Adonai, my rock and my redeemer. Now notice that David starts off giving praise and glory to the majesty of God. You know, in this day and age that we live in, we tend to give a lot of glory and honor to guys and gals who are fantastic at sports. We just finished up the Olympics, and a lot of the news cycle focused on who won the gold medal and the silver and the bronze. And unfortunately, like every Olympics, it wouldn't be the Olympics without some drama to kind of keep us all spellbound and transfixed. Personally, I didn't get a chance to watch them because I've been too busy. But you can always look up. Now, David was a shepherd. That meant he spent many days, many hours outside looking up. He slept with his sheep, so at night he would see the stars as they would raise the expanse. And a lot of times we don't even see. I keep saying that I'm crooked. We don't even see because of the lights and all the noise around us. We never think to look up, to realize that there's a strong, glorious message that God is the creator, that God is high above the heavens, that God is ready to move and to touch and to help his people. And by his word, he set the sun into its circuit. By his word, the all of creation tells us that God is great. Yet you would have those who would worship the creation and not the creator. Notice what David says. He begins to talk about in verses 8 through 10. The idea that God's word has a certain character that it wants to instill in you. Notice what it says. The Torah of Adonai is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Adonai is trustworthy. So it's perfect. It's trustworthy, making the simple wise. The precepts of Adonai are right, giving joy to the heart. The mitzvah, or the commandments of God, are pure, giving light to the eyes. The fear of Adonai is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Adonai are true and altogether righteous. Now, you notice what he says. He goes through the power and the truth of God's word. I want you to turn, if you have a Bible there next to you, go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. I want you to, and then we're going to continue on. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Notice what it says. Seeing his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. God has given you and I everything that we need in this word to live godly and holy lives. So notice what he says here. He says, first of all, the soul, the word of God is perfect. It restores the soul. In this world today, if this is not part of your daily dose regimen, the world will cripple your soul because it's imperfect. There's trials on every hand. It's dangerous. But yet, if we're in this word, we know that it is perfect. It restores. It gives back the energy the world depletes. It is trustworthy, making the simple wise. What does that mean? God's not trying to have a class system. He goes, anybody, if they'll listen to the words of God and read the words of God, it can make even the most simple-minded person into a wise human being. Because you begin to understand and see it is not your wisdom, but God's wisdom. Every morning when I go to work, I pray for wisdom to be the leader that God has called me to be, because I can't lead my school in my own wisdom, because I'll get in my own way and get myself in trouble. But if I can listen to his wisdom, then our school and our children will be safe and protected, and we'll see, even though it's not a Christian school, you'll see God's hand move and touch the lives of those families and young people that we've been charged with helping. It is right, giving joy to the heart. When you tell people to serve God and to get to the word of God, the first response that many of them will come back with, what, it is so hard to serve God. I feel like I'm under pressure. I feel like I'm under some kind of burden. I feel like, and you can just fill in the blanks. But David says here, his word should bring joy to the heart. See, walking by faith is when you do and the emotions become the caboose. Faith is the engine. When you allow the Holy Spirit to help you walk by faith, walking for God becomes a joy, not a chore. He says that God's word is pure, giving light to the eyes. In a dark world, we need light. In a world that is just looking for something, groping in the darkness with their hands because they're trapped in the kingdom of light, those who are in God's word find light in the darkness path. It is clean, enduring forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will never pass away. I spoke to someone this week at work, and she mentioned how that the book of Revelation scares her, terrifies her. Talking about the rapture scares and terrifies her. And if that is how you feel about Revelation, then you've missed the point of the whole book. It is not a book of the heebie-jeebies of scary. It's Jesus talking to the disciple whom he loved, warning him of the things that were going to happen, not just to him, but to all of mankind. to whom he loves, he warns, he chastens, he gives you, he tells you what's coming. Noah preached for 120 years that there was a flood coming, and he had never seen a flood. And you know how that story turned out. All of mankind was destroyed except for Noah and his family. Why? Because they wouldn't listen. Friend, God's word gives you light so you can see where you're going. You can see the path. You can see where we are. It's clean. You can trust it. In David's mind, verses 11 and 12, he said that God's word to him was more desirable than gold. Growing up, I used to see my dad and my grandfather, that the last thing they would do at night before they turned in, they would open scripture and read. It's what gave them, it meant something to them. I have found that I had a very dear friend of mine give me a Bible, and it is one of my most precious things. You say, well, what about this and that? It really is. The Word of God needs to become something that you hold to so tightly that it means more to you than silver or gold or the things of this world. Matthew 15 and 6 says this, and by this you have invalidated the Word of God for the sake of your tradition. You see, when we undervalue the Word of God, when we make it cheap, we start adding our traditions. But Jesus had to tell the Pharisees, what you've done is you've invalidated the very promises of God. The reason some of us don't walk in the promise or walk in what God wants us to walk in is simply because we undervalue the Word. We avoid the Bible. We avoid Revelation when it's the only book that says, hey, if you read me and listen to me, there's a blessing that's given to you. We avoid the Word of God because it might shine light into our lifestyles that we'd rather the Lord not look at. It may bring to light things in our own personality, or it may bring to light things in our own mind that God wants to clean out, and we're afraid if we really begin to dig into this, it might begin to change us. We must cling to His Word as tightly as we do possessions. There are those who will get online every day and check the status of their 401k, thinking about their retirement plan. There are those who can't wait to buy the latest car. I have an acquaintance that can't wait to buy this Tesla. She's got to have a Tesla because it is a status symbol. Rather than, I need more of the Word of God in my life. David says that God's Word is what gives us pleasure to the soul. He said it's sweeter than honey. Pleasure to the soul. In a world that focuses exclusively on pleasure, David says, hey, you want real pleasure? Here it is. Read this word. Get into this word. If you want to become a person after the heart of God, you need to know God. And the way you know God is through His revealed word. You see, you take the graphia, which are three Greek words. Here we go. Greek word studies 101. There are three words in the Greek that talk about word. I know, man. Graphia is one. Logos is the other. And rhema. Graphia is the actual written word. What you have written. Okay? The logos is when this word begins to get down into your heart and your life and begins to create and begins to change. It becomes rhema when you speak and agree with it. You're probably saying, okay, Brother Eric, Dr. Stansbury, that sounds fantastic, but I'm going to have to ask you, sir, do you have scripture to back this up? And I'm so glad you asked me that question, because I do. Jesus is in the wilderness. Now, Jesus knew the graphia because he had read the Torah. He had the logos because he was logos for one thing, but he had it down here. It was part of it. So Satan shows up and says, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus said, and quoted out of Exodus, man shall not live by bread alone. He agreed with God's word, and that's what he fought with. It became rhema word because it dealt exclusively with the situation he was in right there. So Satan changed his tactics. He goes, look, I can give you all the kingdoms of the world. You will not have to go through the cross. You won't have to go through all these problems. You can skip the whole process. And Jesus, again, agreeing with the word of God, says, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Once again, the graphia and the logos got together and became the rhema. Last example. Now, Satan quotes scripture. It is written, he will give his angels charge over you, concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, it is also written, you shall not test the Lord your God. You see, Satan knows the word better than most of your biblical scholars. But yet, we want to fight him in our wisdom and in our knowledge. But if you've taken the graphia, and the graphia has become logos into your soul, it has become part of you, that when a situation arises, it becomes rhema word. It's a word spoken at the right time in agreement with God and his kingdom. And it will change your circumstances. David says, I am saved, I am cleansed by your word. Notice what in verses 13, he says, who can discern error? David is clearly saying, here's the problem with a lot of us. We can't even see when we're wrong. He says, so cleanse me from hidden faults. He says, go in, expose and clean up the areas I don't even see as sinful. He says, and keep your servant from willful sins, that they may not have dominion, so I will be blameless. He's saying, keep me from letting sin, for me, think about how I can plan sin. Now, there is in this scripture, we see a progression. The temptation to thought, that's the error. The thought to the object of meditation, you keep pondering it, pondering it, pondering it. The object of meditation to now you start to wish for it. The wish for it becomes a planned action, the hidden fault. So you see what happens, you're like, and then now you're like, I want to do that. I want that. Planned action to try to find the opportunity, the sought action to perform the act, the performed act to repeated action to delight willful sin. Now you can't help yourself. Delight becomes a habit. Habit turns to idolatry. You say, whoa, wait a minute, Dr. Stansbury, I'm not worshiping. When it becomes the central focus of your mind, not God. And as I've said before, there are three things that God cannot and will not do. One, he will not lie, he cannot change, and he will not play second fiddle. From idolatry to sacrifice, you're going to worship it, now you're going to sacrifice to it. Many people will sacrifice their time, their talent, their family, everything to whatever this thing is. And from sacrifice to slavery, now you're bound by it. That progression holds. That those two simple verses that tie that whole thing together. Cleanse me in my hidden errors. Stop it before it begins. Cleanse me from my hidden faults. Stop me from going too far. Because sin will take you farther than you want to go and make you pay more than you want to actually pay. As a cathedral used to say. So then David now prays to surrender. May the words of my mouth, things that I say, and the meditation of my heart, the things that I ponder in my mind, the things that stay in the forefront of my mind. If you're thinking about things that have nothing to do with God, and you know that they're not godly, I'm going to give you a crass example, and for all my sports fans, please don't be offended, but just hear me all the way to the end. You're sitting in church. Preachers preaching the Spirit's moving, but your mind is on what time the game starts. Or your mind is on where we're going to eat after church. The meditation of your heart isn't acceptable. But if you're sitting in church or you're sitting in worship and you're focused on how great and magnificent God is, and you're focused on being there with God in his presence, with his people, that's when your mind. When I sit at work, there are certain things that fly through my mind, but always in the forefront of my mind, I'm thanking God for my job, for the day he's given me, for the wife I have, for my children, my stepdaughter, for all of it. Because only through his hand do I have anything. Because the enemy will rob my father and my elder brother restored. David is asking for the words he speaks and thoughts he thinks to be acceptable and pure before the Lord, his foundation, his redeemer. Words come through and come from our thought life. If you don't believe it, look at what's happening in the world around us. We talk fear, talk fear, talk fear, talk fear, talk fear, because we're afraid, we're afraid, we're afraid. What are you afraid of? Wear a mask, don't wear a mask, vaccinate, don't vaccinate. You have all these things. I read this big article where it talked about that when we argue that it's our body and we make a choice, that's an invalid argument. But yet the other side, on their other issue about abortion, will use that very claim to tell us that we're wrong. So they're trying to have it both ways. So what do we in the Bible do? We see what our king has already said on any matter, and whatever he says, it's settled. There's no more discussion. So what we ponder in our minds eventually will come out of our mouths. David is asking God to put a filter on his mouth and clean his thought life so that he can always stand before God with purity, clean hands. You see, your thought life, and I know we've heard this preaching of what you think, and people say, oh, you preach about the secret, what happened? No, 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 no. I'm not saying what you think is what you're going to bring to yourself. I'm saying what you think is what you're going to say. If you're pondering sin, sin will come out your mouth. If you're pondering anger and fear and go on, that's what you're going to begin to speak. And if you speak something long enough, it will become your reality. If you worry about fear, fear becomes the reality. If the doctor says you've got a disease and you focus on that disease, you focus on dying from whatever that is, it will shorten the amount of time you will live. Because your body will begin to adjust itself to the reality your words will now create for you. Now, I'm not saying you can solve this positive stuff and create wealth as some preach. I'm telling what you begin to perceive, and your perception will begin to change. Thought becomes word. Word becomes action. So David says, filter me. Don't let my mouth and my brain get my whole body in trouble. We said before, don't let me write checks I can't cash. So, my friend, do you have a love for God's word? Do you love, do you crave, is that the central focus of everything you say and do, that I'm walking in the word of the living God? Here's the thing. If not today, be the day. He's as close as the mention of his name. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can make that commitment today. You can surrender your life and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God, and he rose from the dead, and he is my atoning Savior. Do that today. And if you do that, please feel free to email me at pastorstansbury@gmail.com, or if you're in the Phoenix, Arizona area, come visit with me at East Phoenix Church of God, and hopefully before long we'll have an actual brick and mortar for Restoration Bible Fellowship, and we'll begin to get together in time. Also, let's not forget to pray for one another, pray for our nation, pray that God's hand will stay back judgment for the remnant church to get ready. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your power, grace, and your glory, and your word. I thank you, God, that your word is always true, and that your word is forever settled in heaven. Lord, I pray for those that are listening or watching, that if they don't know you, that today will be the day of their new birth. And Lord, those of those that are here and are watching that have walked away, that today will be the day they come home. But Lord, above all else, we want to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, don't forget to like and subscribe to my videos. So that way you'll always know when a new one pops up. Don't forget, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to start the book of Revelation with a new, fresh approach. I think you're going to enjoy. That's going to be very exegetical in its approach. And I hope that you'll join us there. Again, it will not be available on Facebook, but only on the YouTube channel and my podcasting channel. So you'll need to subscribe to those. If ever you have any questions or comments or concerns, please feel free to comment and share. So until next week, this is Dr. Eric Stansbury from Restoration Bible Fellowship, saying grace and peace be multiplied to you I hope God just blesses you in so many different ways. And an old preacher in Tennessee go, and God would be good to me for telling you the truth. You can't beat Jesus to save your soul. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Walking in the Word with Pastor, Teacher, Evangelist Eric W. Stansberry. Feel free to email Pastor Stansberry at pastorstansberry@gmail.com. We thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Walking in the Word.